Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church on the sixth Sunday of Easter. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg. Welcome to all of you who are here in person, and welcome to all of you who are watching this at home. And happy Mother's Day to all of the moms and grandmas and great-grandmas that we have joining us today. You know, usually on Mother's Day, I'm not in the same place as my mommy, but now that we have our live stream set up, I can say, hi, Mom, and she can actually watch from Connecticut, so that's great. I'll call you later, Mom. So we are thanking God today for all of our moms. Where would we be without them? And today we are going to use Divine Service Setting 1 for our worship. It's all printed there for you in the bulletin. I'll invite you to stand as we begin with our invocation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We speak responsively the words of the introit. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Bless our God, O peoples.
Bless the sound of his praise,
who has kept our soul among the living.
And has not let our feet slip.
Blessed be God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Come and hear, all you who fear God. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
This is the peace of victory for our God.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding, accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for the sixth Sunday of Easter comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm of the day is Psalm 98, and we chant this psalm responsively. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The epistle reading is from St. John's first letter, chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word of God, we now join together with millions of Christians around the world speaking the words of our common Christian faith. This morning, we use the words of the Nicene Creed. We confess together, "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is Jesus Shall Reign. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the first reading from the book of Acts, from chapter 10. This reading is primarily the words of St. Peter, which he spoke in the presence of a man named Cornelius and a group of Cornelius's friends and relatives that had gathered there. But the reason why this conversation is a big deal is because the crowd was made up of mostly Gentiles. And so Peter was preaching the good news of Jesus to people who were not like him. These were Gentile people. And so what we learn from this, of course, is that God shows no partiality. And that's the title of the sermon today, and that's also coming from verse 34 of our text. That God doesn't play favorites, and we give thanks to him for that because it means the gospel has come to us too. And we are to go out and we are to preach about Jesus to all kinds of people in the world, even people that are not exactly like us. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like to start today first by talking to all of the moms and the grandmas and the great-grandmas that we have here in the room and those who might be listening along at home on this very special Mother's Day celebration. Ladies, it doesn't matter if your kids are still little or they're all grown up. It doesn't matter if they live near you or they live far away. It doesn't matter if they're alive here on earth today or they're alive with Jesus in heaven. Today we give thanks to God that he has used all of you for his purposes, to reflect his love in the world, and especially to reflect his love in your family. And so we give thanks for all of your love and your sacrifice. And so anybody here who has some special mother in their life, can we give thanks to God for all these amazing women? Of course, at the same time, it is important to recognize that not all women are mothers. Sometimes that's by choice, and sometimes that's not. And in this broken world, there are a number of people who don't have a very good relationship with their mother. And there's some people for whom Mother's Day brings some pain because their mom is in heaven now. And so I guess my point is that Mother's Day isn't necessarily everybody's favorite holiday, and yet for us as Christians, every single time we have an opportunity to gather together on a Sunday morning, we have something to celebrate because Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And that above else is why we are here. And that is what gives us our hope. But I wanted to start out by acknowledging the moms today, partially because it is Mother's Day, but also because recently I was reading this article that was published in a magazine called Psychology Today. And in this article, it was talking about a study that was done among siblings who had grown up together in the same household, raised by the same parents. And what the study was trying to figure out was what factors led to these adult siblings, now that they've all grown up, whether they are close to one another or whether they've grown apart from each other in their relationships now that they're grown. So the average participant in the study was about 23 years old, and the researchers were out of Purdue University, and they had all of these different hypotheses as to, you know, what might be the factors that contribute to those relationships. And not just between, you know, the brothers and the sisters, but also between the adult children and their parents. What factors have led to the relationships that they have now? And it was interesting because they were surprised by some of the results. Some of the things that they assumed would be a big factor turned out to be not so big of a deal. So, for example, they really thought they were going to find out that the relationship between brothers and sisters had a lot to do with birth order. Like, where you are in line in your family would determine how good you feel about that relationship. So, you know, the oldest kid might feel differently from the middle child or something like that. But they found out that that wasn't really a big factor at all. They also thought that maybe it would have something to do with wealth and economic status. So if one sibling was more successful than the other, then maybe they would feel differently about that relationship. And that might have been true in just a couple cases, but for the most part, that wasn't a big factor either. And then looking at the relationship between those adult children and their parents, they thought maybe one factor could be, you know, how old or how young the parents were when they first had kids. You know, how close in the years and generation are they? But that turned out to be not too big of a factor either. The number one most important factor had to do with whether or not those children in adulthood felt that when they looked back on their raising, did they feel that their parents, and especially their moms, treated them with favoritism, where one child was favored more than the other. That was the number one factor. So I thought, okay, let's do a little experiment here. So for those of you who have at least one brother or sister, raise your hand if you think your mom has a favorite kid or had a favorite kid. Okay? Okay, I see some hands. Keep your hands raised if you think you were not that favorite kid. Right? Okay. So you can put your hands down. But so it's a common experience, right? To feel that way, that mom and dad treated you differently from your brother or sister, right? And the thing that's really interesting about that is almost every parent I know would say that they have tried their best to raise their children equally, or at the very least, that they absolutely love all of their children equally. But just speaking from experience, when you're raising multiple children, there's a lot of balancing that has to take place and a lot of adjusting, and each kid has a different personality, and each child has different needs, right? And so you might love them all the same, but the way that we express that love might seem unbalanced from time to time. And all of that reminds me of the situation that the early church was facing in the days of the book of Acts. What we read here in Acts chapter 10, in these days when the Christian church was brand new and just getting started 2,000 years ago. For the longest time, going back many years, back to the days of the Old Testament, the true followers of God, the Israelites, thought that favoritism was a really good thing. In fact, they believed that that was one of Yahweh's most important attributes. They loved this idea that God treated them differently than everybody else in the world. The fact that he, as our heavenly parent, as our heavenly father, out of all of the other children he has, that he would show his love and attention to Israel, that was a really big deal to them. That was like part of their identity as a people. So not only was this a theological thing for them, but actually, this is what became part of their collective personality. This was ingrained into their culture. For a lot of people, they were raised to believe that if you were not born in Israel, if you were not a Jew, then that's just too bad for you. Too bad, so sad. Nothing you can do about it. In fact, even to this day, there are many conservative Jewish people who don't really place a lot of value on things like evangelism, getting the good news out about God. Because for them, for a lot of them, salvation is not really a big question of concern. For people that are outside of our little exclusive chosen community, we're not so concerned about whether or not God has chosen them. The thinking is God chooses and blesses whoever he chooses and blesses, and that's that, and there's not really much you can do about it or even should do about it. It's not how everyone thinks, but that's just one of the ways of thinking out there. So it's no surprise then when you take a look at the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who was himself a member of that exclusive Israelite Jewish community, when he would go out and he would preach the word of God and he would heal people and he would drive out demons, even sometimes in Gentile lands among Gentile people, that this became somewhat controversial among the Jewish religious leaders of his day. And then it also makes sense that later on, after Jesus was crucified, risen from the dead, and ascended into heaven, that when the apostles went out and they did as Jesus commanded them, to make disciples of all nations, including especially Gentile nations, it makes sense that the early church would continue to be just as controversial as Jesus was in the eyes of the Jewish people. Every so-called God-fearing Jew would have been completely confused and possibly even offended at the mere thought that God would actually bring his salvation to the Gentiles of all people. They didn't want God to treat everybody the same way. They liked it when God played favorites. I look at this text, and in some ways, I wish that the first reading that we had here in Acts chapter 10 included the entire chapter, even though that would have made it a really, really long reading. But the 33 verses before we get to our text today give us such really important background and context for the things that Peter is saying here. And so I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, but I'll try to give you my short Pastor Wallenberg version of everything that happens leading up to this text. So basically in Acts 10, you have this man named Cornelius. I mentioned him before. And Cornelius was a Gentile, but actually he would have been considered worse than a Gentile because he was actually a Roman soldier. So he was part of this group that was seen as being responsible for trying to keep the Jewish people down under Caesar's thumb. So he was like the enemy in their minds. But Cornelius, one day, he has this vision from the Lord. And the vision tells him that he needs to send for a man named Peter, Saint Peter, from a place called Joppa. So then all of a sudden you have the scene change, and here we are in Joppa, and there's Peter. And Peter receives a vision from the Lord too, but Peter's vision is a lot harder to understand. It's not nearly as straightforward. So what Peter sees is there's this sheet that is lowered down in front of him. And on this sheet are all of these different animals, and a lot of them are what they would consider to be unclean animals. And he hears in the vision a voice that tells him, "Peter, get up and eat these animals." Now Peter, as a good Jewish man, he doesn't want to eat anything that's considered unclean or not kosher, right? So Peter actually argues with the voice in the vision. He says, "I have never eaten anything unclean or common before." And the voice responds to him, "Do not call that which I have made clean, do not call that common." Now, the point of the vision is not really about food. It's not really about clean and unclean animals at all. It's not about being kosher. The point of the vision is about people. The point that God is trying to bring before Peter is that Jesus has made all people clean with his blood. And so Peter shouldn't be considering some people clean and some people unclean just because of where they were born or in what family did they come from. So, after receiving that vision and getting the message, then Peter does go over to where Cornelius is in a place called Caesarea. And Cornelius is there with a whole big crowd of people. He invited his family and some friends of his to come and join him. So Peter has this amazing opportunity to preach the word of God to all of these people who are not like him at all these Gentile people. And that's what leads us then to our text. And that's what leads him to start out in verses 34 and 35 by saying, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." And then he goes on with kind of a long speech that I read earlier. And at the end of the passage, the Holy Spirit actually appears and comes to all of these Gentiles, and they're speaking in tongues, and then Peter baptizes them all. It's really an amazing story, and it's a really wonderful turning point in the history of the early church. Because there it is, right there, right? God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't show partiality. God sent his son into the world because he loves the entire world. And God desires that all people would be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So, what does this mean for us today? Because, I mean, these days, the whole Jew versus Gentile thing is not really a problem for people like us sitting here in rural southern Illinois, right? So what is it that we can glean from a text like this? Think about it this way. The church is kind of like a mom. Like if you think about the church kind of being like a mother in the sense that God uses the church to give us new life and to nurture us. And I'm sure all of us as the mother church, we would love to be able to say that we have done everything we can to love all of God's children equally. But you know as well as I do that one of the greatest criticisms of the church from people who are outside of the church is that we tend to show partiality from time to time. Like, we tend to only cater towards certain kinds of people, or we only tend to associate with people who are kind of like us. And I think this is a challenge, especially for German Lutherans, right? To force ourselves to think outside of this box and to venture outside of this bubble, right? And to actually intentionally engage people that we think we don't have a whole lot in common with. But thankfully, the very one who calls us to do this, to go out and minister to this community, Jesus Christ himself, is the one who has covered this entire world with his blood. And the blood of Christ is the great equalizer of the world. The whole world is blessed because Jesus Christ has not shown partiality when it comes to his children. And really, we should love that, because if God played favorites with his children, none of us would have anything that we could possibly offer to him that would distinguish us from anybody else in this world. It's only because of the blessed sacrifice of Jesus Christ that the human race's playing field has been leveled by him forever. We become accepted and loved by our Heavenly Father, along with countless people of every race and every generation and every wealth level and every single category you could possibly think of. We are joined together with all of them. Businessmen and farmers and people who are unemployed and stay-at-home moms and the favorite kids and the not-so-favorite kids and Cardinals fans and Cubs fans, right? All of us together take comfort in God's word. And all of us together receive his gifts, receive his promises in holy baptism, receive that refreshing and that renewal that's going to come to us in just another few moments here whenever we receive the Lord's Supper together again. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So let's put aside our sibling rivalries. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can stop dwelling on all of the things that divide us and separate us, and instead be eternally focused on what unites us: Jesus Christ and his love for all of his children. In his most holy and precious name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. In our prayer of the church today, there is just one update that I have for you, and this is actually not printed in the bulletin, but today we are going to be lifting Bob Bailey in prayer. That is the husband of Pam Bailey and father of Francie Caston. Bob has been hospitalized this past week with shortness of breath. Seems to be improving, thanks be to God, but he still is in need of our prayer. Let us stand as we go to God in prayer. Blessed God, you do not reject our prayers or remove your steadfast love from us. Hear us now and answer us in your love for your whole church and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you invite us to freely come and hear your word. Bless and increase our faith that we may rightly fear you and learn what you have done for our souls. You make known the good news of peace through our Savior Jesus Christ. Bless and direct the work of our missionaries, that in every nation there would be people who fear God, do what is right, and believing in Jesus, receive forgiveness of sins through his name. We especially ask you to bless Pastor Hans Trinklein, who continues to serve you in South Korea, and also our sister congregation, St. Luke's in Covington, and their pastor, Tim Miller. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son, in his incarnation, took on our human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. He submitted to his mother, honoring and obeying her, so fulfilling the commandment where we have not. On this Mother's Day, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers, whom you have given to us. Teach us to honor them, loving, obeying, and giving thanks for them, as is fitting in your sight. Strengthen all women with child and give them safe delivery. Comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in you and your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, you rule this world by your established authorities in ways that we do not always understand. Yet, in the name of Jesus, we may ask you anything freely as friends and sons and daughters. Bless our nation's leaders and cause them to serve wisely for our good. Give earthly peace and justice that is in accord with your commandments and the order you have revealed. Bring an end to injustice, violence, and disdain for your truth, and let us receive all good with thanksgiving. Guide and protect the members of the armed forces, including Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Cody, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, we thank and praise you for all of the good things you have given to us in this life. We rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Eowyn, Randy, Dennis, Ronald, Kayla, Madison, Carlene, and Craig. We also thank and praise you for the gifts of marriage and family. Bless those who are celebrating special wedding anniversaries this week, including James and Susan Sylvester. We also praise your name for the wedding of Devin and Easton Holly, which took place here yesterday afternoon. Help them to grow in love for you and for each other each and every day. Lord, we continue to give you thanks for the ministry of our day school, for the students and their families who hear the gospel every day at Trinity Lutheran School. And here at the conclusion of Teachers Appreciation Week, we especially lift before you all of our faculty and staff who work so hard to provide a high-quality Christian education to our community. Be with us all as we draw closer to the end of another school year. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, the giver of all that is good, grant your healing and support to all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity, especially those who are on our prayer list, those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift Bob before your throne as he continues to be hospitalized. And all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Dee, Verdell, Jim, Ray, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Norma, Diane, Brenda, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Give them also the gift of your grace to accept and bear their crosses with faith in you, that finally they would be prepared to depart this life and receive the gift of eternal life in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, at the death of your Son, you gave the testimony of your Spirit in the water and the blood that poured from his wounded side. Grant that having received this testimony in the water of baptism, we may also receive it in the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Supper, and so overcome the world by our faith in him. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Just another reminder that if you brought an offering or a tithe with you today, you can place that in the basket in the narthex. At this time, we will sing our offertory hymn, Lord of All Nations, Grant Me Grace. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. The closing hymn is Stand Up for Jesus, so please remain standing. You may be seated. This time I'll invite all of our Sunday school teachers and students to dismiss over to the school at this time. Hey, good morning. A few announcements for you today. We have a number of things going on. I mean, once again, we want to say happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. And along with that, there are some special silk Mother's Day roses that are going to be available to purchase back in the narthex. So whether you are planning to stay for communion or not, those are already available back there. They are $2 each, and all of the proceeds go to support the Washington County Right to Life. So, wonderful organization to support. So, please consider purchasing a silk rose for your mommy today. A few other things to mention. We do have meetings this week. Tomorrow night is our big meeting night of the month. So, if you're on stewardship board, school board, or the board of elders, we're going to be meeting tomorrow. Also, we're wrapping up the school year pretty quickly here, not too much longer to go. So there's some information in the bulletin today about lots of school things, end of the year school things, including some field trips and other, some clubs going on this week, and just a number of things to pay attention to. I'm going to ask on behalf of Jane, our office secretary, if you could please let us know if you have anyone that is graduating from grade school or high school or college this year, if you would please let us know about that so that we can acknowledge those folks. Jane is asking for those names by May 20th, so please get those into her if you would, please. And I also wanted to make a mention, two Sundays from now is May 23rd, and that is going to be our graduation Sunday. Graduation is going to take place. The diplomas will be awarded to the graduates during the service itself, and then there's going to be some activities after the worship service ends. There's a blurb in the bulletin talking about Sunday school on May 23rd. Because of our new situation where we've been having Sunday school after church, for that 1 week, we're just going to cancel Sunday school, and that, in that way, that won't interfere with everything that'll be taking place over in the gymnasium that day. So Sunday school is canceled on May 23rd, and we'll resume the following Sunday on May 30th. And the other thing that I wanted to bring to your attention regarding the May 23rd service, this week is when signups for attending worship on May 23rd will go live. However, we are anticipating a very, very similar situation on graduation Sunday to what we had on Confirmation Sunday, Palm Sunday, which means we're going to have probably our full capacity filled here in the sanctuary just by the families of the graduates themselves. Therefore, if you are planning to join us for in-person worship on the 23rd, and you are not part of one of those families that's graduating, we're going to set up a live stream over in the gymnasium, just like we did on Palm Sunday, and you'll be able to attend and watch the live stream with other folks over there in the Activity Center. So that is going to go live on the website and on Facebook this week. I just wanted to let you know that in case you were planning to come on the 23rd, that this space, the sanctuary, will be reserved just for the graduates and their families that day. I believe those are all the things that I needed to bring to your attention. Are there any announcements that I might have missed? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to invite the elders to come and help me set the table for communion, and I'll invite the ushers to dismiss those who are not planning to stay. God's blessings to you the rest of this day and the rest of this week.